In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking today to mothers at home. Guess what? Did you know that full-time motherhood has become downright chic? Did you know that? Well, my authority is the Wall Street Journal. Has to be true, doesn't it, if it's in the newspaper? I do have a respect for the Wall Street Journal that I don't waste on a lot of other newspapers. They come up with some really common sense, down-to-earth, wise articles. And this is one that says, stay-at-home moms are again fashionable in many communities. Former professional women bring a competitive edge to bake sales and the PTA. The question raised is, are their kids better off? Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that I agree with everything that the Wall Street Journal says here, but I find it very interesting that after all the hoo-ha about women not being fulfilled when they stay at home and finding fulfillment by going out and getting themselves a high-visibility, high-paying job, that they are going to be much better off that way, a lot of women have discovered that it ain't out there. And, of course, you men could have told us that long ago if we'd been willing to listen to you. Fulfillment does not lie in the job. Fulfillment lies in the offering of our work to Jesus Christ. And you can offer your work in the kitchen and the laundry to Jesus Christ just as well as you can sitting behind a desk in the CEO's office. This article talks about some very wealthy, well-to-do women in Georgia who did have high-paying jobs and very powerful positions who have decided to stay home. One of them says, in the 80s, you were more defensive about being a stay-at-home mom, she says. I feel justified in doing it now. A surprising victor is emerging in the mommy wars, that ongoing battle between those who work outside the home and those who don't. In pockets of middle and upper class America, like this one, the stay-at-home mom is fast becoming the newest status symbol. Isn't that absurd? I mean, isn't that just ridiculous? I think status symbols are ridiculous anyway. But the hilarity of stay-at-home moms who used to be so despised now becoming a status symbol, well, it wasn't lost on me. I think I do see the humor in that. In the 1980s, as women made gains in the workforce, the housewife fell into disrepute. Stay-at-home motherhood was viewed by some professionals as a ghetto of sorts for women who couldn't cut it at the office. For some, the question, what do you do, was dreaded, and just a housewife was a pejorative. Today, with more than 57% of women in the workforce, stay-at-home motherhood is becoming fashionable in some circles, partly because it's a luxury that so few families can afford, the equivalent of, say, a BMW a decade ago. S. David Ellison, the vice president of an Atlanta engineering firm, says he doesn't want to sound critical of a former colleague who endured a long commute and used daycare for her children. But if you've made the commitment to have children, says Mr. Ellison, whose own wife stays home, you have to devote energy to them. Mr. Ellison says he is happy that lately there's a shift back to normal, more basic values. Well, I'm happy about that, too. That's why I wanted to read you this editorial. The I'm just a housewife with apologetic overtones is going away, says Ann Klerman, one of the Yankelevich Partners, a consulting firm that studies societal changes. Women who stayed home used to see it as just a job, she says. Now they see themselves as CEO of the household, chief executive officer of the household. This same consulting firm that studies societal changes put on an annual survey that routinely asks women if they would quit their jobs. For 20 years, about 30% of women surveyed said they would quit if they didn't need the money. In 1989, the number grew to 38%, and by 1991, it had jumped to 56%. Interesting, isn't it? Rather surprising. They talk about power moms. Now, I have to say, I deplore that kind of a statement. Are we women looking for power? Do we need to be empowered to do what God empowered us to do by creation? Power mom, says this article, often has a car phone and carries a date book that resembles Henry Kravis's, says Delia Flores Lackenauer, a Lake Forest, Illinois mother of two. These women could run General Motors. Power moms are an influential lot in communities like Soap Creek in Georgia, an upper middle class enclave where houses often sell for $300,000 or more. I don't suppose very many of these illustrations would ring any bells with most of my listeners. We're not in those brackets, are we? The growing stigma attached to mothers with careers is rubbing off on some of Soap Creek's children. It is of little consequence to 8-year-old Alex Coggan that his mother, Celeste, has carved out a career as a successful dentist. He thinks she's too busy. I wish she could be a story mom more often, he says. Employed mothers counter that their kids are at least as well off, if not better. Cindy Fox's job as Director of Revenue Enhancement for Bell South Mobility helps pay for private schools and a house in a better neighborhood. Still, the pressure to be maternally correct weighs heavily on working mothers. And people have actually coined the phrase maternally correct, which they use as MC instead of PC. We've talked about politically correct language on this program. Well, now here we've got maternally correct. So, in a sense, it's a swing back toward the home, but then it's a swing to make the home a place of power and a place of more money and more busyness. These women who go home, you wonder if they're really home with their children more often than they were before, if they're running around to PTA meetings and doing bake sales and organizing political caucuses and that sort of thing. Then a former magazine ad saleswoman who quit her job in 1983 has thrown herself into so many activities that she needs a retinue of au pairs, housekeepers, and gardeners. Her calendar is packed with junior league events, PTA board meetings, and Brownie troop activities. She volunteers at the school office and helps make brunch once a month for the teachers. Plus, there's a travel with her husband, David, the Merrill Lynch stockbroker, for whom she recently organized a golf party of 150 business associates. I never sit down, she says. In quieter moments, some full-time mothers wonder whether they are simply falling prey to the same kind of competition that dominated their careers in years past. We don't aim to be chic or politically correct or even maternally correct. We aim to do what God wants us to do. Is it a good reason to change your lifestyle and start staying home and taking care of your children instead of keeping that outside job and giving someone else the job of watching your children? I don't think it's a good reason at all that you want to be chic. As Christians, our aim is to please Him who created the world and who loves it so much that He gave His Son. That means you and me. He loves us with an everlasting love. And if you're a mother, God has given you a tremendous privilege, a great gift, and a very high responsibility. Can you live up to God's expectations? Certainly not. Not by yourself. Not without His grace. Not without prayer and faithful obedience. If Jesus Christ died for you and me, should we not want to do what He tells us to do? In Titus 2, 3-5, the Apostle Paul has given instructions to the young minister Titus, and he tells him that he is to teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. How can we women see to it that no one maligns the word of God? We older women are given our responsibility right here in this passage. We are to encourage, to set an example for, to teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home. Another translation says very clearly and bluntly, to stay home. I happened to fall into conversation with two young mothers. They happened to be sisters after church last Sunday. And somehow or other, this question of mothers staying home came up very quickly. I didn't know these women at all. And one of them looked at me rather askance, and she said, "So you think that a woman's place is in her home and she's not supposed to do anything else?" Well, I tried to point out to her that really doesn't make any difference what I think, but I, as an older woman, am clearly instructed that I am to teach the younger women to stay home. If your job takes you out of the home and you see it as an exception to this passage in Titus 2, 3 to 5, please don't think that I am condemning you. If yours is an exception, then it's not my business. It's for you to sort out with God. But I'm here to encourage all of you to seek to please Him, to thank Him for the work that He's given you to do, and if you're a mother, to see it as a holy vocation.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.